general version of the Levian Sisi Gemara, and that flying hand and base, it talks about a minhag that they used to blow the shofar in order to indicate the advent of Shabbos, that Shabbos was coming. Sheish Tanam Abanan, Sheish Tekios Token, Erev Shabbos. There were six Tekios that were blown in Erev Shabbos. That doesn't mean six Tekios in terms of, it means Tekia, Trua, Tekia, and then Tekia, Trua, Tekia. That's considered to be a total of six Tekios. So we're counting the Truas as well. And then we have an accounting, basically, of what all of the Tekios would accomplish. In order to get people to stop working, in order to get the stores to close up. And finally, it's codified. There are various versions. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi as to whether the third tekiah was for hadlokas neiros, or that's Rabbi Nassan, or whether it was the fourth tekiah that was for hadlokas neiros, that's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And then we have a tana debate Rabbi Yishmael, the chesh tekiah's token. Erev Shabbos hiska litkoa tekiah rishona, when the first tekiah would be blessed, nimnu ha'omdim besodim miledu malacha, shemilasos komalacha shebesodos. Then all the people who were out in the field would stop doing their digging and their weeding and all of the other work that they were doing. Ve'en ha'kvovin rashayin dekanes ha'shiyavo v'chokim, ikansu kulam ke'echot. In order that it not look like anyone was disregarding the sound of the shofar, those who were close nearby would wait for those who were far away so that everybody could come back to the city together or cross the bridge together. But there still would be the stores. They'd still have the bakeries open and Trisin, Munakin, Hiskalit Koetskiya Shinia. So then they would blow the second Kia blast, and then all the bakeries would close and all the stores would close up. Hiskalitistalko at Trisin. They would close the windows in Inalu, Hachanuyos. They closed the stores. People were still cooking and doing the last minute preparation. So then they would blow the third tekiah blast. So then they would basically take away all of the kedeos, and they would wrap any dishes that needed to be warm. So they would be wrapped at that point in time. And the hadlakas and neighbors would take place. And b'shoa kedei tzlias dad katon, there would be a waiting period. The waiting period before the final blast would be sounded was the waiting period of how long it would take to roast a small fish, the final, so that it enabled the final preparations for food to be completed, in order for the bread to be fully baked, and then there would be the final three blasts, and that would be it. And that would basically announce Shabbos. So the notion of the tekiah blast is not something that is widespread, although in Yerushalayim, there's a minute, we all know that there's a blast. It comes about 40 minutes before Shkia. That's when they accept upon themselves Shabbos in Yerushalayim. So there's a minhag, not observed by everybody, but a minhag 40 minutes before Shkia. So they blow the shofar. So the Kaf HaChaim already brings down in his day that the minhag was that they would blow one blast 40 minutes before Shabbos, before Shkia, and then another blast that was to, so that everybody would recognize that it was the last minute, and they were the last period of time before Shabbos, and then 10 minutes later, 30 minutes before Shkia, they would have another blast, so everyone know now it's really serious, now it's really over. And in Muncie, now they have horns. For the last number of years, they've had horns blasting before Shabbos also. So this is all in the spirit of this minhag, of this takana that was mentioned in the Gemara, of having the tekiyos blasting in order to remind everyone. Even when they didn't have tekiyos blasting, they would have a town crier who would go around, who would just announce in the street, Shabbos is coming, Shabbos is coming, so that everybody knew that it was time for them to make the final preparations and to light the candles for Shabbos. Then the Gemara continues. On Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Shemati Shimba Lahadlik Achar Sheish Tekiyos Madlik. I heard that if somebody wanted to be Madlik afterwards, they could, because after all, the Chazan HaKnesset has some time to get home. Because he has some time to bring his shofar to his house. They said, no. Then you would be nasata drorecha l'shiur, and rather the chazan, because sometimes his house would be nearby and sometimes his house would be far away, rather the chazan puts the shofar away immediately where he's located, and nobody is allowed to do a thing. And that you can't be madlik the nair afterwards. So there's a big question here. How do you understand the Gemara in terms of the order of the different malachos, of the different acts that were mentioned that were supposed to be observed? is the order of Miakev in any particular way. So Tosfos over here, picking up on the Gemara, which says that according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the third blast was lachot tefillin, that anybody who was wearing tefillin would take off the tefillin, and then the fourth blast, and then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had a fourth blast that was for hadlakos neiros. Tosfos quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Samaches Samad Aleph, where Rabbi Eliezer was sick, and his and it was the Erev Shabbos when he was sick, and Horkanus, his son, came to be choletz the tefillin, came to be choletz against his tefillin. So his father got very angry and said, "The tefillin, that's not like a big deal. Like it would be chil Shabbos if you take off the tefillin on Shabbos, but if you don't like the Shabbos candles and you wait too late." Then that took place after it's already Shkia, so then you're already committing an infraction on Shabbos, so you better take care of that first. So it sounds a little bit like the order is not so significant, that you can move things around. The halakha snare could be before the chalitza's tefillin. So Tosfos says, no. In fact, if anything, maybe you have a raya. He says, Adarabim, Shami is raya in the other direction, the chalitza's tefillin kodemasev, that you have to do the chalitza's tefillin first, because this was an exception. It was only because of the case that because there was a sick person in the house, Rabbi Eliezer was so sick that they took longer to get everything accomplished because they were taking care of a sick person. Until it was already close to nighttime. And that's why they had to make an exception to the rule that only in that case the Hadlakas Neiros had to be done first, because otherwise they would have been Mechalel Shabbos. But normally the Hadlakas Neiros comes after everything else. So the Bahag, famously, based on this Gemara and a couple of other sources, the Bahag famously says that we see from here that the Hadlakas Neiros is the last thing, and it essentially effectuates a Kabbalah Shabbos, that at the moment in time in which there is hadlakas neiros, whoever does it, the Bahag doesn't say that it's only if the woman does it, it's the man does, the head of the household does, he says, when there's hadlakas neiros in the house, we see that constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos, because no malacha is allowed to be done after the hadlakas neiros. So this Bahag is quoted earlier on in Daf Chof Gimel, it's quoted by the Ran. Because the Ran was speaking about the sugya over there, it says that if you only have enough money to afford either a Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah, so then you should spend the money on a Ner Shabbos because of Shalom Bayis. So he threw in, according to the Ramban says that the same thing is true chronologically, that if you have both Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, Ner Shabbos should come first. And the reason why Ner Shabbos should come first is because Tadu V'Sheino Tadu Tadu Kodim, the Ner Shabbos should precede Neros Chanukah. But then he says, and I saw this Bahag, that the Bahag says, no, that Neros Shabbos should come last. That's our minute. The Neros Shabbos should come last. The Torah in Hilchos Chanukah, there's some interpretation test, quotes the Bahag, and says that for this, that because of the Bahag, this is why when we have Neros Chanukah, Neros Shabbos, and Shabbos Chanukah, we light the Chanukah candles first and the Shabbos candles afterwards, because when you light the Shabbos candles, according to the Bahag, that's a Kabbalah Shabbos, and you're not allowed to do any Malacha afterwards, so you wouldn't be allowed to light the Neros Chanukah afterwards. And he brings a Raya, the Bahag brings a Raya from our Gemara, saying that you weren't allowed to do anything after Hadlakos and Neros. In fact, even in the case of at the end of the Gemara, there was a question as to whether a Yachid is allowed to, who didn't do Hadlakos Neiros yet, whether he can still do it after the Tzikios. There seems to be a notion that the Chaz and Akneses, once he's finished with all of his Tzikios and the Tzibor, has officially been Mekabel Shabbos, so that even a Yachid wouldn't be allowed to do anything, even Hadlakos Neiros. So that's also used as a Makkah, the Mordechai, at the end of the Perek here, also says, so here we see that the Yachid is Nigra La'achar and Tzibor. Forget that the members of a household might not be able to do malachi after Hadlakas Neiros, but if a tzibor is Mekabel Shabbos, it's a source for the Yadin. If a tzibor is Mekabel Shabbos, then nobody's allowed to do anything, even Hadlakas Neiros. Again, if the entire tzibor was Mekabel Shabbos, wouldn't be allowed to do anything afterwards. But he says that from the order, we see that you're not allowed to do any malachi after Hadlakas Neiros. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban takes issue with this Bahag, and Ramban says, if you look closely at the words, it says that after the third Tekiah, which if you look at the Tanah Debei Rabbi Shmo, which says that after the third Tekiah, which was supposed to cause the cessation of a further work, And the third tzikiyah was, and the Bahag understands that you aren't allowed to do any malacha after the halakas nevus, which accompanied the third tzikiyah. So if you look closely at the lashon, what does it say? It says that hiska litko at tzikiyah shlishi, said that the chazan would begin to blow the third shofar blowing. And then it says, v'shoed, that he pauses, k'day tzliyas da'akotun, k'day la'abik pas patanur, that he pauses enough time and this is after it says hidlik hamadlik, after it says that the candles get lit, he's supposed to pause enough time that you can roast a small fish. So obviously you're still allowed to roast a small fish. If you can roast a small fish, you can do other malachos too. So Ramban says that there's no such thing. This was the halakas nevus was part of the general order of events that preceded Shabbos, and it was towards the tail end of all of the different actions that brought upon a Kabbalah Shabbos, but it did not, in and of itself, constitute a Kabbalah Shabbos. It was one of the final necessary acts that needed to be performed, but you could even roast a small fish afterwards, or even, you know, so because that's the lashon that's used by the Gemara. So Ramban says from here that we see that Kabbalah Shabbos has nothing to do whatsoever with Hadlakas Neiros, and there's no basis for the opinion of the Bahag. So Ramban feels that way very, very strongly. The Rosh also says the same thing. The Rosh also says, based on our Gemara, the Rosh right here in our Gemara in Laman Hamad base, Simon Chavches, at the end of Bamei Madlikin, says that we see that there was you are allowed the time. So obviously you're still allowed to engage in malacha. So what then constitutes Kabbalah Shabbos? So the Rosh says that we have a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chav Zayin Mabes that indicates that Rav would be exceptional, that Rav accepted Shabbos upon himself when he davened Marav. That even if you daven Marav a little bit early, that's what effectuates a Kabbalah Shabbos. So when you hear Baruch Hu, you have in mind to be Mekabel Shabbos. So that's what affects a Kabbalah Shabbos. The Rechuvas about what if a person walks into shul and he hears Baruch Hu and he didn't daven Mincha yet, but the tzibur is up to Baruch Hu because they're davening Shabbos early and he answers Baruch Hu, he may not be allowed to daven Mincha afterwards. But Moshe has a tshuva on this, which Moshe says that if he has in mind explicitly when he answers to Baruch Hu that he did not intend to accept Shabbos, is he allowed to daven Mincha afterwards? Otherwise, it's all considered to be a Kabbalah Shabbos. So the real Kabbalah Shabbos is effectuated through Marek, through Baruch Hu, nowadays that we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, when you say Mismashir Liyam Shabbos, the Mechaber says, the Mishnah Berurah says, since we say Lecha Dodi, so when you say Bo'i Chala, so that constitutes a Kabbalah Shabbos, even if it's not Yeshkiah. But the notion of Hadlakas Neiros, that doesn't really constitute a Kabbalah Shabbos. So how do we paskin Halacha L'maiseh? So this is a Machlokas. It's brought down the rare occasions that Shita is brought down with the headline of the authority who presented the Shita, but because the Bahag became so famous or notorious for advancing the Shita, so when the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Samach Gimel Sif Yud presents this halakha, he presents it as the Bahag says. This Yesh Misha Omer, it is such a Shita. The Bahag says that the Bahag has such a Shita of the Bahag. The Bahag says that you begabel Shabbos and halakas there. So therefore, a person wouldn't be able to do any malacha afterwards, even if it's a lot of time until Shkia. And then the Mechaber quotes Yesh Chokim. As we know, the Ramban disagrees. Yesh Chokim, the Rashba clearly disagrees too. The Rashba also says that when it comes to Neiros Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah, you would light Neiros Shabbos first because the Tadir Vishay no Tadir. So there are differing opinions. So then the Ramah says that even though there are differing opinions, we draw a chiluk halacha lemaisa between the woman of the household and the man of the household. And for the woman, Hadlakas Neiros is part of her mitzvah. This is the way in which she is ushers in Shabbos, and this is an understanding that she's accepting the beauty of Shabbos, she's making tefillos, her children should be tamei chacham, she's bringing in the Shabbos spirit. So for a woman, the minhag is that she is accepting Shabbos when she lights the Shabbos candles. However, she doesn't bind the other b'nei habayis, the other members of the household, even after the woman lights the candles, if it's not shkia, they can still engage in malacha. And the same would not be true if the man is lighting candles. When a man is lighting candles, it doesn't have this significance, and for a man, it's understood that he's not accepting Shabbos, even if he is the one who lights the Shabbos candles.
When a woman does halakha, does that take effect for the women in the house?
Sorry, it takes effect only with respect to the woman who lights the candles. That's it. So for her, it's a Kabbalah Shabbos. However, says the Rama, she can make it tonight because we don't make or it didn't pass like the Bahag. So therefore, since it's only a minhag, so she can override the minhag through it tonight. So she makes it tonight either explicitly or he writes even belayed. If she intends to do something afterwards, she intends to do additional malachas afterwards, then she's allowed to. But it's a machlokis. Even the Machaber brings a machlokis as to whether tonight works or tonight doesn't work. So the Mishnah Berurah says that since it's a machlokis as to whether tonight works or not, this is a Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Mendal and Simon Reish Sama Gimel. So the Mishnah Berurah says it should only be litzorach. It's only if there's like something very pressing that she has to do before Shabbos. She wants to work on her the tax return. After her Barakas Neimah, so that's not a pressing need for Shabbos. It has to be something which is a real tzorach, that she has in mind that she's going to do after her Barakas Neimah. So this is what the Rama also brings down, that this is what essentially influences the way that we say brachos over the Neimah Shabbos, that because of the Shita of the Bahag, we do a couple of things, of course, the Shita of the Bahag. Number one, we light, when it's Shabbos Chanukah, we light Chanukah candles first and then Shabbos candles. But number two, another thing that we do is that even though normally a bracha is made on a mitzvah over La'asiyah Asan, before the mitzvah is actually performed, when you're doing a mitzvah, first you make the bracha and then you perform the mitzvah. So when it comes to Hadlakas Neimah Shabbos, we reverse the order. First, the woman lights the candles, and then only afterwards she makes the bracha, because there's an argument that even according to the Bahag, this is brought down in the Sefer Torah's Rafael, the Shmir Shavuos Kilpas, close to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, quoting the Torah's Rafael, from, I guess, Rafael Mibolozhin, saying that even according to the Bahag, the Kabbalah Shabbos is only affected at the together with the when the woman makes the bracha. She hasn't made the bracha yet, so then she's not. It's considered like she hasn't completed the act of Kabbalah Shabbos through Hadlakas Neimah Shabbos, and therefore, up until that moment in time, she has not accepted Shabbos. So you shouldn't. So she can't make the bracha first. If she would make the bracha, so then that would cause there to be, then that would be a Kabbalah Shabbos, and she wouldn't be able to light the candles afterwards. So she first lights the candles, and then makes the bracha afterwards. And in order that it be some type of Ovelasiyos, and she covers her eyes, so she shouldn't be nana from the light which is cast by the candles until after she makes the bracha. But this would not be applicable, Pipashtis, the Be'er Halacha brings down, this would not be applicable in a case where a man is lighting the candles. He could make the bracha because it doesn't constitute a Kabbalah Shabbos for him, so he can make the bracha. If he's lighting the candles, he makes the bracha first and then he lights the candles. And he also suggests that maybe in a case where the woman is making a tanai, that she's going to do malacha afterwards, she also should light the duo over lasiyos and light the candles first and then make the bracha. The same, and so too with respect to yantiv, since on yantiv there's no prohibition of lighting a candle. If you already have a candle in your hand, you're not creating a yesh miayin, you already have a candle, and then you're going to take you have a match, and you're just going to use that match to light a candle. So then on yantiv also, it doesn't make sense to reverse the order. You should make the bracha first, and then light the candles. And then the Mishnah Berurah just quotes the Magen Avraham, who says that no, it's too confusing. Once we're saying that most of the time when a woman lights the candle, she lights and then she makes the bracha, it'd be too confusing if in other scenarios we did it differently, and therefore we have a low plug. So he says it should be a low plug. In all these other cases, all the three scenarios that I mentioned, the woman makes it tonight, a man lights the candle, or it's yantiv, it should be a low plug. In every single case, you light the candles first, and then you make the bracha. So some, I think, observe the Magen Avraham, particularly with yantiv. I think there's a widespread minhag to follow the Magen Avraham's low plug. And even if someone is lighting yantiv candles to make the bracha, that they would make the bracha after they light the candles, like the Magen Avraham says. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, that the minhag probably is that when a man is lighting candles, since that's not something that happens every day, especially in a married household, it's usually the woman who lights. It's only in rare circumstances. The Mishnah Berurah says, if a woman is running late and she's in the shower and it looks like there's a chance that she's not going to get around to lighting the candles until it's either Ben HaShemashes or, you know, that Suffolk Ben HaShemashes time, you know, when the clock on the wall indicates it's a minute to go, but maybe the clock is a minute off. You don't know. So the Sofek Bein HaShmashos is treated the same as Bein HaShmashos. No Sveik Sveika when it comes to Sofek Bein HaShmashos. If it could be, it's possible it's Bein HaShmashos, you have to treat it as Bein HaShmashos. So you don't want to get to that moment in time. So a husband sees that you're approaching that moment in time. So then the Mishnah Berurah says that he should light the candles on the Reish Sabbath base, that he should light the candles instead of the wife. So I think in such a case, the minute probably is that the husband would make the bracha first before lighting the candles. He doesn't have to make it tonight to do additional malacha. The box says, Tov, it's a good thing if he has in mind that he's going to do additional malacha if he's planning to. It's not necessary. It's only necessary in the case of the woman because we assume that she has in mind the Kabbalah, so she has to make it tonight, not to accept the normal minug, but the husband doesn't have to make it tonight, but he says it's tov, it's a good thing. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down, he doesn't have to say make it tonight, but it's tov, it's a good thing, it's a nice thing if he makes it tonight. It's recommended that if the husband's lighting the candles, he should make the tonight, yes.
Why can we say that the woman always lights before, meaning she lights before and then she makes the bracha after, and just say it's a low plug for all three, and for Shabbos, just say that she's going to make it tonight, that she is going to light the candle after.
I'm sorry, what are you suggesting?
Say that it's a low plug for all three of the cases. For
the Mishnah Magen Avraham was saying that it's a low plug, that the low plug, you start off with our minhag, that the woman lights first and then she makes the bracha. Then he's saying that once you have to do that, in order to ensure that she be able to light, right? Because once she makes the bracha, she might not be able to light on Shabbos, according to the Bag. That's why she lights first and then she makes the bracha. So we have a low plug that's the way it always should be. That's what the Magen Avraham
says.
Right,
to say a low plug that she should first say the bracha and then light.
But according to that's a big problem because that might not work altogether. According to the Bahag, you might never be allowed to do that. The whole reason why we do that is to avoid the problem of the Bahag.
But what if she makes it tonight, though?
No, but the Bahag says that she can't make it tonight. In other words, that there is the Mechaber brings a shita that a tonight doesn't even work. So we're worried about that shita. The tonight doesn't even work. That's why we say that even when we permit a woman to make it tonight, it should only be with the tzorach, if there's like a tremendous need for her to make it tonight. Normally, we would say she shouldn't lechatchila. A woman shouldn't even make it tonight because there are those poskim who hold that a tonight doesn't even work. With a woman, when a woman lights. So since there are those who hold it, it's night doesn't even work, so we don't want to rely upon that.
And to light the candle would not be considered a tzara, for example? If she wanted to make the bracha and then...
Again, the only reason we're even allowing it with tzarech is because we're giving deference for the shitos who, number one, don't hold the bahag, and number two, hold that it's night works. But because of the fact that there is a shita that, namely, the purest form of the Bahag shita, says that that a tonight wouldn't even work. So therefore, our ideal practice would be not to encourage a tonight, even litzorach. That we want to do away with litzorach. We want to have her light in such a way that this will be the last thing that she does, and that she doesn't even make the bracha before she lights it. The last malacha she does is the lighting, and then afterwards she says, "Adlik Shel Shabbos." That is the final Kabbalah that is the unadulterated, unquestioned Kabbalah of the wife at that point in time. So we don't want to rely upon those shitas that say that you can make it tonight. It's only if there's a tremendous tzorach, so we have no choice but to rely upon it. But to say a low plug, the lechatchila, in every single case, we're going to have to do it this way. That would defeat the whole purpose of what we're trying to accomplish.
Can you say who again was the one who made that first distinction between men and women?
So the Rambam makes that distinction. The Rambam makes the distinction between men and women, right? And the Aruch HaShulchan says it's a pshara. The Rambam is making a pshara between the shittas. Yeah.
Maybe suggested being choshesh that clocks may be off by a minute if you don't know that they're actually on. Is Rabbi just saying that by like is there skilo of Shabbos or in general by not a mincha? It's that be.
By Shabbos in particular, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that if you have a Sofek Bein HaShmashos, so that's not considered to be a Sveik Sveika. It's that in a couple of places, that a Sofek Bein HaShmashos, it's all considered to be one Sofek. Since Bein HaShmashos itself is a Sofek, whether it's light or Sofek, or Sofek, whether it's yet Bein HaShmashos, it's all included within the same Sofek. It doesn't make it more lenient. So he says that specifically with respect to Shabbos. I mean, you could apply the same Svara, I guess, to other things. But he brings this halacha specifically with respect to Shabbos. The Sevara, I suppose, is applicable to any kind of Sofek Bein HaShmashos situation. Unless you say you know what time it is, but there's a machlokas haposkim as to whether this time is Yom or Laila. So Rav Moshe has that. And if I know what time it is, it's the very beginning of Bein HaShmashos, but there's a machlokas as to whether this time is Yom or Laila, whether you hold like Rabbeinu Tam or whether you don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam during the first few minutes of Shkia. So Moshe uses that as a sveika, that if it's the early time, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Vada Yom, and even according to the others, it's a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, so he also that's a sveika. Not everybody agrees with that particular chiddush of Moshe. So Moshe, on the subject of Moshe, has a tshuva in Chelik Aleph, Simen Tzadi Bav, in which Moshe himself was spotted driving after his wife had lit candles during the 18-minute period. And the person gave him a little bit of mussar and said that people might think that it's mutter to do malacha even after you were Mekabel Shabbos. A woman might not necessarily know to distinguish her Kabbalah Shabbos is not binding upon other people in the household, but it is binding upon her. So Rav Moshe said that he thinks that everybody will know to distinguish, and even if a woman in a particular case might not know to distinguish, so we'll explain it to her. We'll explain to her. You know, the reason your husband's allowed to drive is because your lighting of candles is only binds you, but it doesn't bind your husband. So he thinks it's perfectly permissible, and he said, you saw me driving. Gives the time of day. There were 12 minutes, it was, I guess, 6 minutes into the Shkia, and there were into the 18 minutes before the Shkia, and there were 12 minutes left before the Shkia. He says, I could have driven not only as far as I drove, I could have driven 5 times as far, and I still could have made it with time to spare before Shkia would have hit. So, therefore, what I did was perfectly fine, but because I like you so much, and you gave, and it's the, and I really appreciate that you mizaris yourself to be mekayim mitzvahs halacha towards me, that I will take it upon myself. Bli neder, he says in the future that he won't drive after his wife lights candles. So I saw the Shmir Shabbos Kilkasov brings it down, not in the form of Rav Moshe took upon himself, and see what a wonderful thing it is that Rav Moshe, you know, even though the criticism was not warranted, nonetheless, in order to decrease any possible marisayin, took this upon himself. He just writes in a footnote that it's appropriate for everybody to see that they don't do anything after, to not drive after the wife lights candles. So I didn't think that necessarily was my interpretation of Rav Moshe's tshuva. But he still clearly says that the way that we paskin is that when the wife lights candles, it's not binding upon the other members of the household. So then the other halacha, just quickly about the lighting of the candles, is that since she has at that point in time accepted Shabbos after she's lit the candles, so the question is, what does she do with the match? What does she do with the match? Can she blow out the match? Or do we say, no, that's already a malacha, she's not allowed to blow out the match? So I think I think the Rama says that the way to go about the match is that it should just be kind of thrown away in a way that she's not extinguishing it directly. It just sort of goes out by itself. So that could be kind of like a perilous trick if you're just kind of like throwing it down so it should go out by itself. What if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't actually go out by itself? The postkim seems to be more concerned of what if it doesn't work and you actually throw it down in such a way that it's a secretion that it will go out, and then you violate the malach anyway. I would think I'd be worried about the reverse. What if it doesn't go out altogether and it blows up the entire house? But anyway, so the Shmir Shabbos Kilkasa quotes of Shalom Azaman as saying that that chumrah is only applicable if you make the bracha beforehand. But once we already have the practice that we make the bracha afterwards, and we hold that there's no actual Kabbalah Shabbos until the time of the bracha, so then you could actually extinguish the candle as long as the woman hasn't made the bracha yet. So what she should do is she should light all the candles, and she should blow out the match, and then after she blows out the match, she should make the bracha. Then you don't have a problem altogether. And I saw, even though the Shmir Shabbos Kilkas, such as Chelik Beis, didn't quote him, the Aruch HaShulchan says the same thing. He also says he thinks that chumrah of just tossing the match in a way that it's a gramki boy, that it goes out mimela, is only if you had made the bracha before lighting the candles. But if she's making the bracha after lighting the candles and she hasn't made the bracha yet, so he thinks that it would be perfectly okay. Now, of course, a yantiv, you have this problem, because a yantiv, whether you make the bracha beforehand or whether you follow the low plug of the Magen Avraham and make the bracha afterwards, either way it's already yantiv and you can't extinguish, so then you'd have to follow this Eitzah. I don't know exactly the best way that this ends up getting accomplished on yantiv, but this is the but on yantiv you definitely do have, still have this this problem. You could always throw a match, I guess, into like the side of a sink, you know, and then mail it eventually goes out. Yeah.
Said about the Tanai, is that something you have to articulate, or is this enough to think through the Tanai?
The Rama says that the Tanai can be both a belave or a bepet. It doesn't have to be bepet. It could even be belave. Shmuel Shaul Skilbasa says the Tanai can't, it shouldn't be simply, I have in mind that I am going to do the following malacha, because that's that doesn't really accomplish the goal. The goal is that she wants to demonstrate she's not yet being Mekabel Shabbos. The Tanai has to be, I'm making a Tanai that even though I'm lighting candles, I'm not yet being Mekabel Shabbos. Make a Tanai of, I have in mind, even though I'm being Mekabel Shabbos, I'm still going to do Malacha. So that's, that's a Tanai Medava Shabbos. So you can't make that kind of a Tanai. But she could have a Tanai that she's not yet going to be Mekabel Shabbos. Since Meir Karadin, we're assuming that we don't hold like the Bahag.
Also, is there a minute? Not only to cover the rise, but to sort of cover the candles and then cover the rise, or it's like the
I think the minhag is generally to cover the rise. I think so.
And then for men,
you don't want to keep your fingers too close to the candles.
Okay, and for men, yeah. for men who are not mekabel Shabbos with halakha neiro,
right.
They're going to be mekabel Shabbos in shul.
Right.
So at which point, I know you said about bo'i kala, but it really comes out bo'i kala, like the way it works out, it's already after ben shmasha when you get there, so like, shouldn't they be?
So once it's Shkia, there's a question of Tosefta Shabbos, that at a certain point, the man should stop doing Malacha, because we generally assume that the Rabbim and the Torah don't have a notion of Tosefta Shabbos with respect to Shabbos. But we generally assume, like all the other Rishonim, and like the Pashtus of the Gemara and Yuma Daf Peva, that there is Tosefta, that there's not only an Inyan of Tosefta Yom HaKippurim, but there's also an Inyan of Tosefta Shabbos. So you should start early, so you should start at least a couple of minutes. It's a question what the shiur Tosefta Shabbos is. Maybe everybody should really start a half hour early, but at least a couple of minutes you should set aside that you're not going to do malacha before shkia. And then, of course, at the point in time in which the tzibur is mekabel Shabbos, so even those things that might have, we spoke earlier about kol davar mishum shvus lo gazu lav bein hashmashos, that if you're bein hashmashos, there might still be things that a person would be able to do me'arvin es hadamai in certain things that we even mentioned tomnin, mentioned hatmana. That's one of the rayos that's brought by the Bahag, that halakas, or by the Ran on behalf of the Bahag, that halakas name of Shabbos always has to is a kabbalah Shabbos, because even those things that you might be allowed to do into bein hashmashos like hatmana, the Gemara says explicitly that hitmin amatmin behidli kamadlik, that hatmana should come before halakas. That even those things that would have been permitted, you got to, once it's halakha's name of Shabbos, so that's the end of the story, that's considered to be a complete non-qualified Kabbalah. So once the tzibor says Baruch Hu, once the tzibor that you belong to has accepted upon itself Shabbos, it's the last minion, and the last minion of the tzibor that you belong to has accepted Shabbos, so then even if it's those things that you would have been allowed to do, let's say it's after Banish Marshes, if it's before Banish Marshes, so you can't do anything. Even though it's daytime and you might otherwise be able to do Malachas, you can't do Malachas in Banish Marshes. Those things that you may have been allowed to do at Banish Marshes, you're not going to be allowed to do once the Tzibor is officially Mekabel Shabbos. So that would be the Nafka Mina, even if they only say Bo'i Chala during Banish Marshes. Rav Moshe also has another interesting chiddush. This is in Chelek Gimel of Orach Chaim Siman Lamed Ches, in which he says that if a tzibur is only accepting Shabbos early because of out of convenience, not because they're interested in ushering in the kedusha of Shabbos early, but because it's summertime and it's just easier for everybody to go to shul early and get the davening over with earlier, but not because of the fact that they're looking to have more Tosefis Shabbos. It's just that this is the set time during the summer that everybody davens. So then he says he thinks, he has a svar, he says he's not saying for sure, but there's a svar that may be a yachin in that situation if he has and he's not going to shul, and he's not yet accepting upon himself Shabbos, even though he won't be davening with the tzibor, it may be a yachid. It's not nigra l'achar tzibur. Maybe that type of kabbalah shalos by tzibur is not binding upon a yachid. That's a chiddush. It's relevant to people who go to bungalow colonies who are running late, and the bungalow colony only has one minion, and the minion is early, and the person wants to be able to continue doing last-minute preparations because he's coming late from the city. He came, he was doing work, and now he wants to be able to do some malachos before it's officially Shabbos. Yeah?
Every show does it like for convenience now.
So that's a question. That's a question. So that could be a big nafkamina, la halacha, with respect to communities, you know, as I said, like far away, like bungalow type communities or camp communities that only have one minion, and somebody's, and it happens to be, say they make the minion early for convenience purposes, and somebody is coming in from the outside, so it could be a nafkamina in that respect. And Ramosha also writes, it's a chiddush in that same tshuva, that after a woman is mekabel Shabbos, she shouldn't do. That it's better. He brings some sort of an analogy to a person who has an eved, that it's better that she not do malachos for her husband. They ask that she was mekabel Shabbos, so it's better, right? She can't do malacha for anybody. Because it's better if she not ask her husband to do malacha on her behalf. I think that was his chiddush. But he said that's not malacha, because after somebody is mekabel Shabbos early, they can ask somebody who hasn't yet been mekabel Shabbos to do malacha. So he says. So maybe with a wife and husband, it could be that because of the closeness of the relationship and the shibudim, that maybe there might be more of an issue. But that's something maybe we'll speak about more on another occasion. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.